Well, good morning. It's great to be here again. And last Sunday, I just sat here and enjoyed the service and was quiet. Just it was good to be here and just enjoy a service at home. I didn't want to steal the show from Cambodia team, so I didn't stand up and say anything. So I'll take time now to just say greetings from Mongolia and from our family. So Victor and Vincent and I are here. So the three of us starting a beginning of a transition period for our family. So we look forward to it. We wonder. We worry maybe a little bit, but that's where we're at, and we trust the Lord as He leads us through this time. So it's great to be here. But as I was sitting here this morning, he was asking for testimonies. I just had to think, you know, what's really going on in my heart? And this is the second time now I've come to the States for an extended period of time. My wife's still back in Mongolia. And it's always been a challenge to me because it makes me think about my relationship to the Lord when I'm so far away from my wife. I mean, every day we're chatting. Text message now. Every day we're chatting a little something, and then it went about 3, 4, 5 days, and we're only chatting. Just only chatting. It's like, you know what? No, we need to have a phone call. You know, I want a video call. You know, I want to, and then I got to, it always makes me think, remember last time it was the same process I went through. Do I miss the Lord that much when I'm busy for a day? Do I connect every day? And does it, how much, you don't realize how much you miss someone or how much a relationship you have until it starts to get, you know, some distance between it. So it's just my challenge. It's just what I've been going through again. I've been apart, family on two sides of the world, but how connected are we with the Lord, and how much do we miss that connection when we go a day without prayer, when we go a couple days, just only sending the Lord just a little quick text message. Oh, thanks. Thanks for food. You know, it's just maybe a little text message. But do we really miss that relationship? And I've been challenged again to a deeper walk with the Lord. So I'll just start this morning by sharing a little bit about where we've been over the last 2 years since we've been here. And then I'll close with a challenge from the Word that's been really challenging me over the last month or so. So we were here 2 years ago, and I was sharing. We were feeling the Lord moving into some new areas, and a lot of that stuff has gone forward well. We were able to buy the development center. We bought that. We had some bumps in the road, a problem with the power line that had to get moved. And about 2 weeks before we came across the problem with the power line, we bought a building, and it was a log building, square logs, 4x6 logs, and it was really, the walls were just like really settled, it was really crooked, so we decided to tear it down. Once we tore it down, then they came by and said, well, now it's a new building, you got to go by the new code, not the old code. There's a high voltage line too close to your building, you have to move your building. I'm like, but it's the old foundation. No, it's a new building. So finally, with some persuasion, we decided to convince them to move the power line, not my foundation. But 2 weeks before the problem arose, a friend of mine emailed and said, do you have any needs? If you do, just let me know. And so the power line issue came up, and they said how much it was going to be. So I emailed my friend. I said, I have this issue. You know, if you have some extra funds, you know, we do have this need. I didn't share any amount, and he sent me a check. And it was exactly what we needed, the $2,000 to move the power line. They moved 5 poles and just moved it around. How it cost them $2,000. But anyway, so the Lord is providing. And the funds for the building, the second floor, we're just finishing it up for this hockey season. First floor, we still haven't finished, but it's not till spring till our English teachers are moving out. Derek and Joanna are now in the city, saying language. They're moving out in the spring, so we'll finish the first floor and get English classes and whatever other stuff going on the first floor. So the Lord has been amazing and provided in a lot of ways on that side of things. Hockey has gone well. This year we've had a lot of opportunities we didn't have before. We had opportunity this summer to actually go to Beijing and play. Took Zach and two of our 10-year-olds, got to join the Mongolia team, go to Beijing. So a lot of fun things happening, and parents connecting. Those two that went along, their parents are all excited about their children having this opportunity. They support me in what I'm doing. And to see the connect with children and parents and all that coming together, it's exciting. On the valleys note, last time we were here, I had found a pastor that was excited to work together with me. That went good for a very good first year back after being here. Went good. The church was growing. And I'm not quite sure what happened. He started distancing from me, and he didn't want to work. We had a job work contract, and he kept, "Oh, I'm too busy, and I just felt something happening there. I didn't know what was going on. What's happening? What is the Lord trying to tell me? What do I need to do? How do I deal with this the relationship? And last October, he came to me and said, "I'm done. I'm moving. I found a job that I can support my family better, and people are telling me I'm crazy and I'm leaving." So I talked him out of it. I said, "No, I mean, you're an asset." "No, I'm no asset." "Yeah, you're an asset. To what? I mean, look at all these people. I didn't bring any of these people, these new people. That's all people that you brought in, and they're growing in the Lord. And some of them were believers, some of them were not, but seriously seeking." He said, "Okay." But that only lasted, his promises to me at that point lasted about a month and a half, 2 months, and he decided to leave. And, you know, looking back, there's a lot of things I see. You know, what did I do wrong? You know, so when I was here 2 years ago, I felt the Lord calling me, leading me to raise up this pastor. He was a pastor. He had got offended, left the church. And at that point, I said, "No, I won't work with you. You fix your offenses, and then we'll talk." And he wouldn't. 4 years later, I felt the Lord say, "You know, raise him up." I called him. Things went good for a year. And then when things start to go down, then you start to doubt. You start to question, well, did I hear the Lord? Or is it just my thoughts? You know, is it just my hopes and ambitions? Was it just D&I wants me to be church planting, so I got to find somebody? And you start to question, start to wonder, what am I doing? Am I really doing what the Lord called me to do? Or am I just trying to do things on my own strength, on my own thoughts and dreams and aspirations? And Baya finally came to the point where he left town. And, "Well, I'm going to leave town. I'm going to go to Bible school." And it's okay. That's great. You know, support you in that as best I can. He went to the city, and there were some times he fell back into alcohol before he left the city, before he left Chinga City, and after he went back to UB. And it's just heartbreaking to see the church that he had, the people he had gathered together, being so disillusioned by the turmoil, by the falling of a leader, by the all that. And you feel so helpless. What am I doing? What can I do? What should have I done different? And I think that's a lot of the things over the last year, the questions that were in my mind. What did I do wrong? What should have I done different? But about a month ago, I came across a verse, Philippians 1:9, and it really challenged me and my thinking, and helped me to see maybe a little more clearly what happened over the last year. And there's times when we don't have answers to why. Why was the Lord not able to keep things going. So I'll read verse 9 and 10. Philippians 1, verse 9 and 10. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ, Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. And I read that verse here a while ago, and it just struck me, especially verse 9, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. And I actually thought about that. And I think a lot of times, knowledge is great. We all need knowledge. We all want to be smart. That's why we send our kids to school. That's why people go to college. That's why we teach our children valuable lessons. We teach our children to wash dishes, whatever. It's knowledge. It's life skills. But here it says that your love may abound more and more in knowledge. And I think sometimes we take our knowledge and then we try to say, oh, but you know, I have to have the love of Christ. So to our knowledge, we kind of like covered over, you know, the ice in the cake with love. You know, it's inside, it's knowledge, it's the heart, it's the core of who we are, it's knowledge. But we need to have love. Everything needs to be covered in love or penetrated with love. But here it's saying our love needs to be abounding in knowledge. So you start with love, not knowledge. And maybe I'm reading too much into it, but this is what the Lord's trying to teach me, I think. What the Lord is teaching me. And there's who likes mint ice cream? There's mint chocolate chip and chocolate chip mint. And are they the same thing? I'm not a fan of either, but to my wife, it's a big difference. One is mint ice cream with chocolate chips, and one is vanilla ice cream with mint chips in it. And it is different. It's very different. One's green, one's white. And the person that has an opinion on it, I would say generally has a strong opinion on it. And I think this is what we have here. We have, are we starting with knowledge or are we starting with love? When I was at Toccoa Falls, Ken Ham came through Toccoa. And a segment of the student population went and listened to Ken Ham. And then it stirred up debate around campus and people were talking. And they asked for a debate between some of the professors. Some of the professors were old earth, some of the professors were young earth. And so they said, okay, we'll agree to a debate, but it's going to be a friendly debate. And when it's over, it's over. We're not going to divide faculty into camps. And so it was interesting. You had two Bible and theology professors on one side of the stage and two science professors on the other side. Why are the science professors old earth, believing millions and millions of years, and the Bible and theology professors on the young earth side? And the one science professor is the son-in-law of the Bible and theology professor, so it gets sticky. You know? And so they stood up and debated. At the end of the debate, the conclusion, the summary that I came to, the Bible and theology people said, this is what the Bible said. And until you can prove this is wrong, and maybe you can have all these lots of facts, but until you can prove this wrong, I'm standing by it. And the science people said, this is what reality says. I mean, we've dug it up, we've found it, we've discovered it, we see it, layers, whatever. And until you can prove it's wrong, this is the foundation of science. And we're going to base, they are different foundations. And so in our life, what is the foundation of our life? Our decisions that we make when we call somebody to work with us, to be a pastor with us, when we interact with the relationship over the year, and giving a person second chances. I have an employee that struggles with alcohol from time to time. Do I deal with him with knowledge, with love stirred in, or deal with him with love wisely, with love, with knowledge stirred in. And what is the outcome of love abounding in knowledge and depth of insight? The outcome of that, according to verse 10, is so you may be able to discern what is best. That's how I want to live. I want to be able to discern what is best. The best way to deal with my employee when he doesn't show up for work and I have to go find him and he's at a friend's house and he's out. What do I do? Do you just let him there? Do you take him home? What do? And I've faced those things. So be able to do what is best and may be pure, discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with righteousness, fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ, Jesus Christ. And it's where I find myself from day to day. And I hear you guys sharing, Gina shared, what helps us through those times? How do we make the right decision when life is tough? And you see, you look back and you question and you wonder, am I doing the right thing? And if you look at it and say, I did the right thing. I know I did the right thing. That was the smart thing to do. I mean, maybe it was the smart thing to do. But was it the right thing to do? You know, I think oftentimes my employee, what am I doing? But it's the right thing. It's the right thing to do. And grace. And we demonstrate God's character. And I think, okay, we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 4 and 5. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 4 and 5. My message and my preaching were not wise and persuasive words, but with demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. So how are we dealing with every situation that we face? Whether it's work, whether it's dealing with our children, disciplining our children, teaching our children, guiding, directing. Is it with wisdom, human wisdom, man's wisdom, or by God's power? And God's power, I think God's power, you know, God's love. And I think it's all summed up in the character of God. And I often think when I'm having to deal with a situation, you know, Christ, he picked up the whip and chased the money changers out of the temple. But he could do that because he had love. But then he took what he knew was right, and he lived out the love, and the knowledge came together. And he said, he had the love for people. He had love for God. All that. Christ was right. He was holy and blameless. But he said, it's right. This is the house of prayer, not a place of business. And he made the right decision. Christ made the right decision. Even though it was aggressive. He picked up the whip. He chased the maintainers out of the temple. And when my employee is drunk, I have to do something. I mean, he's not just my employee. He's a believer. We have Bible study together every day. He goes to church with us every Sunday. And he's a great guy. He struggles. It's his weak point. But if I say, it's okay. You know, we all fall. Not a big deal. He had people tell him that a long time ago, and that didn't help him. He just was able to justify his struggle. Even though he hated his struggle, he justified it. So 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5, you read that. We'll look at 12 through 16. 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 16. We did not receive the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not the words taught us by human wisdom, but words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truth in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit of God does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgment about all these things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I look back, and when I started working with Baya, the pastor I was just working with, I worked with another pastor earlier. We worked together for about a year, and I had read all the books, and there was dependency, and I'm not going to create dependency. And so, you were here pastoring before I got here. I'm not just going to come and then just be a money well for you. So I gave him I helped him, but I didn't pay him anything. And eventually, it was about a year later, he ran out of money, and he left. He went and pastored in the city where he could find a bigger church that would pay some salary that he could survive. He didn't want to work. He wanted to pastor. And so he left. So, okay, here's my second chance. Last time I didn't want to create dependency, so I really got no finances involved. So, I'll ask for some support. I'm living in Mongolia. I'm ministering. I get support. And it's not a salary that I depend on. It's not something that I can demand, but it's just some money to help me. So I said, I'll see. So when we're here, and what we're sharing 2 years ago, one family said, yes, we want to support. And so he was getting the support money, and it was about half of a salary. And I said, this is not a salary. I'm not paying you to preach. If I pay you to preach, you can sit down, you can break it down. So for every sermon, I'm getting this many dollars, and I need to do this. I need to preach well, because you start calculating how much you're getting paid to serve. You're not even being paid. So this is money from the Lord, and so that you don't have to work as much. It's not a full salary, but so I said, when you wake up in the morning, don't look to me for what you're going to do. If you're going to go visiting, if you're going to prepare a sermon for Sunday, you need to ask the Lord. I said, you're just like me now. I'm a missionary. I get money from the Lord. I get money from the church. You're getting money from the Lord, money from the church. And you need to answer to the Lord for this money. And then when we parted ways, he told me, he said, that was the meanest thing that you could have done to me. And I said, why? I'm thinking. And I still don't understand. But then when I read these verses here, I think, chapter 2, verse 14. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. Maybe just in his level of Christian maturity. I'm not saying he didn't have the Holy Spirit, that he wasn't saved. He knows. But I'll let the Lord be the judge. But he couldn't understand that. It takes a level of maturity, I guess, to say, this is, I'm answering to the Lord for this. And when his money wasn't enough, he came and said, I need more salary. I said, you're not getting a salary. I can't give you what I don't have. And he compared and said, look, you have a car, I don't have a car. And he compared and he said, you're rich and I'm poor. And you're healthy and I'm sick. And I said, I've done what I could do. And then you look at all the books, dependency. Avoiding dependency on the mission field. And knowledge is good, but knowledge only goes so far. I tried so hard. And still, he became dependent. And I came to the conclusion that, there's, of course, you got to be wise as you serve the Lord. Be wise in all your decisions. But if a person wants to become dependent, they will, whether you do anything right or not. So I'm not saying I did everything right. I know I made some mistakes. And I know, side every conflict has two sides. But so we continue to pray for this pastor that he would, first of all, return to a faithful walk with the Lord. That alcohol would, he would be able to stop the alcohol that he turns to when life gets really tough. At the end of the month, when finances are really in a crunch, seems to be the time when he really struggles. My employee as well, when finances are tight, seems to be when that struggle is there. So, how do we live? How do we interact with people around us? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16, the very end there. But we have the mind of Christ. Philippians 1, 9. I pray that you have love abounding in knowledge and depth of insight. And that love abounding in knowledge and depth of insight. That is, I think, the Spirit of Christ. So what is that? And I started, as I was preparing and looking, what is that? And I started, Matthew, so I started looking through the Beatitudes. It's the mind of Christ. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Last summer when we were working on construction, tearing down and rebuilding the development center, we had a little devotional every morning with the guys we were working with. And I went through the Beatitudes, just 2-3 verses a day. Not much, just one little nugget of truth. And it doesn't make any sense. Be humble, not proud. Love your enemies. Turn the other cheek. Don't worry about tomorrow. Later on in Matthew, the narrow gate, the wide gate, all these things. If you look at it, I mean, there's what makes sense, and there's the way the Lord wants us to live. And I think that's where we find ourselves. And it doesn't matter which side of the world that you find yourself on. You have something that God's calling you to do, ministry that you're involved in, people that you're interacting with, and how do you interact with those people? And those interactions, I think it's mostly when there's a problem, there's a conflict, there's, you know, somebody's offended, something, this or that. How are you going to deal with it? Do you deal with it? Well, the right thing to do is to stand my ground. I was right. That's just the way it is. Or do you deal with it in love and put, you know, the knowledge later and say, you know what, I was right. But it doesn't matter. Or do you do like Christ and take up the whip and clear the temple? Because love says this and right says this. There's a time for both. There's a time for dealing with your friends and saying, you're wrong. There's a time to love your friend and say, I love you. And we'll work through this together. To love, abounding in knowledge and depth of insight. And then, so that you may be able to discern what is best, may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. And that's all of our desire, to make the best decision in every situation. And say, here's a key. I don't know, it's not the only key, but it's one key that the Lord's been teaching me in dealing with the things that we come upon. So that's where we're at. We'll keep on working, moving forward with our employees, with people we interact with in the community, and trust the Lord to lead us to do what is best. Thank you.